Today's daf is Ksubas daf Nun Ches. We are holding toward the bottom of daf Nun Zayinim Beis in the first wide line on daf Nun Zayinim Beis. So, first thing we're going to discuss is if the halacha is that on a daraisa level, as soon as a girl has erusin to a kohen, she's already allowed to eat truma. Why is it that the rabbanan didn't see fit to keep that din daraisa? They made a takana that a girl is not allowed to eat truma the erusin, that she has to wait until nisuin, or at least to gives mana at least if the time comes for nisuin. Why is it that they made this rule that an arusa is not allowed to eat truma? We're going to have two possibilities. We're going to discuss naf between the possibilities. Then on Nun Chesam and Aleph, Abaye said that if a girl is a Bas Yisrael or a Nesua, you have to give her chulin for her tame times, according to everybody, meaning we're going to say about when the Kohen husband provides her with food, can he give her exclusively truma, or does he have to give her chulin because there are times that she's going to be tame and she's not going to be able to eat truma? And the Gemara is going to list five different shitos on the ratio of truma to chulin that the Kohen provides her with, whether he's allowed to give her entirely truma, does he have to give her some chulin so that she has for times that she's tame, how much chulin does he have to give if he's trying to account for those times. So we're going to have five different shitos on Amud Aleph. Then Amud Beis, the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to talk about if a husband wants to be maktish his wife's maisa yadayim, whatever his wife produces, he wants to make hegdish. So the Mishnah is going to say he can't do that, but he can be, but it's machlokas whether he can be makdish the moser maisi adayim, whatever extras that she produces beyond the amount that equates to her mizonos. And that's going to lead us into a discussion about being makdish a dover shaloba liolam. And we're going to discuss shitas Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir holds that you can be makdish a dover shaloba liolam. The question is whether we can prove that Rabbi Meir holds that way from our Mishnah. We're going to be able to prove that Rabbi Meir holds that way from elsewhere, but the question is whether we can prove that way from our Mishnah. So let's begin again, Nun Zayin Amud Beis, at the first wide line. Higiyaz man velo nisu. So the Mishnah had said that if the time had come where it was where the year is up and it's time for them to get married and they didn't get married, now she's allowed to, the husband is obligated to support her, and she's allowed to eat truma. She's allowed to, if he's a Kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Dvar Torah Arusa Bas Yisrael Lachalos B'Truma. On a Daraisa level, an Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat truma. Meaning, even Be'erusin, the second she has Kiddushin, on a Daraisa level, she's allowed to eat truma. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, V'Kohen Ki'ikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo, V'Ainami Kinyan Kaspohu. The requirement in order to be able to eat truma is just that that someone be Kinyan Kaspo. A wife, after Kiddushin, is already Kinyan Kaspo, and therefore she should be allowed to eat truma. Matam amru eina ochela. So why is it that Chazal came along and decreed that she should not be allowed to eat truma? Two possibilities. Number one, Shema Yimzugula Kos Bebesavia, Vitishka Lechia Lachosa. Maybe the Kohen will have some Truma wine, and he's going to give her a kos of wine in her Besavia, in her father's house, and she's going to say, wow, this is delicious, and share it with her father, and share it with her siblings, and all these other people who are not Kohanim, and who are not allowed to eat Truma. So we're afraid that she's going to share it with the people with whom she lives, who are not Kohanim, and that's going to be the problem. So that's why we don't want to give her truma food before she's living in her husband, the Kohen's house. Ihachi, if that's the case, says the Gemara, he gives man v'lo nisunami. Then how come the Mishnah said once it comes time for the nisuin to happen, even if they don't actually get married, she can already eat the truma? What do you mean? If they didn't actually get married, she's still actually living by her father's house, and she could still share that truma with her siblings and with her father. So why aren't we concerned anymore? Why all of a sudden is she going to be allowed to eat truma? As the Gemara, Hasum duchta miyachida. Once it's higiyaz man, once we assume that those 12 months are up, we assume that the husband is going to remove her from her father's house, even if he's not marrying her yet, and it'll be miyachid her own, she'll get her own place, he'll be miyachid a makom, where she will be able to stay. So that's why there's no concern that she's going to share it with her father and her brothers. Ask the Gemara, Elameata, Lakit Kohen Li Yisrael, Lo Lechel B'Truma, Dilma Asul Lemechel Ba'adei. If you have a Kohen who works for Yisrael, let's say he's hired to to pick the grain of the Yisrael, to harvest the grain of the Yisrael, where very often he'll bring his lunch and he'll want to share it with his bosses in order to gain the favor of his bosses. So shouldn't we be concerned? Shouldn't we say that such a lakit should not be allowed to eat truma, lest he share it with his kohen bosses? Meaning, if the whole concern of the girl eating truma is that she's going to share it with the people that she's around all the time, well, people are around not just who they live with all the time, they're around their bosses all the time. So if he's working full time as someone who's harvesting a field, so aren't we concerned that he's going to share the truma with his bosses? We shouldn't allow him to eat truma. And so Gemara, Hashem Yedidhu Safulei Midideh Achli. Now, there's no concern that the bosses are going to eat the employee's food, because adrabba, it's the boss's job, it's the employer's responsibility to provide food for the employee. So we're not concerned that food is going to go in the other direction. The employer has to provide food for the employee, so there's no concern about a lakit kohen who's working for Yisrael. Fractosos, but shouldn't there then be a concern in the other direction? If the employer has to provide food for the employee, what if the employer is a Kohen and the employee is a Yisrael? So shouldn't we be worried that the Kohen employer is going to share Truma with his employee Yisrael? So Tosos writes on the bottom, V'lokit Yisrael bebeis Kohen lo cheshin an klal. That's not a concern at all. D'davka milokit Kohen bebeis Yisrael hu deparach We're concerned that someone who works for somebody else is going to share with the balabayis because he wants the balabayis to like him. And he's so concerned with getting the balabayis to like him, with having that chain of the balabayis, that he's not going to pay such careful attention to what he's giving to the balabayis. And therefore, if he's a kohen, he still might give truma to the balabayis. But when it's simply a responsibility that a boss has, that he has to provide meals for his employee, well, then he's going to be careful about what he gives him, because it's not that he's eager to give him; it's that he's obligated to give him. When you have an employee feeding an employer, feeding a balabais, a guest feeding a balabais, he's eager to do it, and because he's so eager to do it, he may not pay careful attention to exactly what he's giving. But when it's someone who has a responsibility to feed his employees, he's not eager to do it. It's something that he's responsible to do, and therefore he's going to be very careful about what he provides his workers with. So that was all the first approach as to why the Arusa, the Chazal, decided that the Arusa should not eat Truma. It's all because we're afraid of who she's going to share it with, that she may share it with her father and brothers. Second approach, from Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Simfon. Now the concern is that even though right now they have erisin, we're afraid that after nisuin the husband is going to find some sort of mum on the wife, and he's going to claim mekachtos, and it will turn out that she was never mekudeshes in the first place, and therefore even on a daraisa level she was never really entitled to the truma. We're afraid the whole kiddushin could be undone just by him finding some sort of mum, and therefore we're not confident in this marriage until there's a nisuin where the husband is able to see everything he needs to see. If that's the case, says the Gemara, nichnasal chuppah v'lo nivel anami, then chuppah shouldn't be the time where she starts getting truma. It's only at bia where he was able to see her entire body, and therefore he was able to see if there's any mum that's alarming to him. So only then she should be allowed to eat truma without any concern that the marriage is going to fall apart. And so the Gemara, hasa mivdak badakla v'hadar me'ayil. Now the assumption is that chuppah won't happen unless he does some sort of background check. Not background check, but some sort of physical check, physical examination before the chuppah. Aye, he can't do a physical examination before the chuppah. Well, biyad krovosav, Rashi says. He'll send his relatives, his female relatives, to check her to make sure, but he's only going to be makbid to do that right before the chuppah. It's not something he does around the time of erisin. So once they hit chuppah, we know that there are no mumin that are being hidden that the husband has yet to discover. Ela Me'ata, says the Gemara, if we're worried about a mum and that a mum could undo the whole transaction, that shouldn't just be a concern by a wife, that should be a concern by an Eved as well. Eved Kohen Shalakhu Mi Yisrael Lo Lechu B'Truma. If a Kohen purchases an Eved from a Yisrael, that Eved should not eat Truma either, Mishum Simfon, because you might find that there's some sort of mum and the Kohen's going to claim Mekach Tos, and therefore therefore the Eved is not entitled to eat truma. Answers the Gemara, Simfon Bavadim Lecha. There's no mum that we're concerned you're going to find in an Eved that's going to ruin the entire purchase. Di'ida Avra'i HaKachazilei. If there's some sort of mum that's exposed on his body that's clearly external, so that you should have seen when you bought the Eved, that's not something that you could say you just discovered later. Vi'ida Gavai, and if it's some internal wound that you're not aware of, not internal, that would be external, but on parts of the body that are normally covered by clothing, if that's where the wound is, you buy an Eved for Malacha. There's no, you don't care about the beauty of your Eved. You buy an Eved for him to do work. So I don't care if he has a mum beseser, if he has a mum in a part of the body that's normally covered. He's here to do work. He's not here to look beautiful. So that should be totally fine. And therefore, one is not going to claim mekach ta'us. But what if the issue with the Eved is not a physical blemish? What if you find that the Eved isn't who you thought he was, or that he's got other problems that you were unaware of? Shouldn't we be concerned about that? So says the Gemara, Nimtza ganav okavyustus higiu. And if you're going to claim, no, this is a mekach ta'us, I didn't know that this Eved is dishonest, that he's a thief, and he's going to, or he's a kavyustus. We'll see in a moment what that is. But that doesn't help, because the halacha is, even if it's nimtza ganav okavyustus, one cannot claim mekach ta'us. It's higiu. The lokeach has to still stick with the mekach. The mekach is not batel. He has to. It's the mekach stands. So ma'iko, what are you going to say? What could possibly be the mum in the eved that we're concerned might be the mevatel the mekach? List the mezuyon amuchtav lemalchus. What, that he's an armed bandit, or he's someone who's muchtav lemalchus? He's wanted by the king. So that he's there's a death warrant on his head by the king. Well, hanu kala islahu. If that existed, people would have known about that. And says Rashi, and since people would have known about it, there's no way that the buyer didn't know about it, so the buyer must have known about it as well, the Kabbalah, and he must have accepted that, and he was willing, he counted for that in the purchase price. He probably paid a little bit less for it because he knew that this guy is a killer, so I'm going to pay a little less for him than I would for a regular Eved. So Michti, Ben Lamar, Lo Achla. So I asked the Gemara, wait a second, we just gave two reasons why it is that an Arusa, Chazal decided the Arusa Shinani Truma, either because we're afraid who she's going to share it with, or because we're afraid that the whole kiddushin is going to be kiddushay ta'us. So between the two reasons, both reasons seem to lead us to the same exact conclusion, that while she's in Arusa, she cannot eat truma, nichnas al-chuba, she can eat truma. And so Gemara, ikah b'nai, nafkamina would be kibel masar v'halach. Three nafkaminas. If kibel, if let's say the Baal accepts in advance any mumin that she might have, so then you don't have to worry about the mumin, you don't have to worry about a mum being mevatal al kiddushin, but the concern that she's going to share truma with her siblings and with her father, that's still a concern. Or masar, if the father gave her over to the shluchei Baal, or halach, or the shluchei av went together with the shluchei Baal, so then you don't have to worry that she's going to be mashkala achil achosa, you don't have to worry about who she's going to share it with, because she's no longer around her old family anymore, so she can't share it with them. But you still have to worry about some fun, because she still hasn't been with the husband until he has had the opportunity to examine her. You would still have to be concerned about that. Now, one thing over here, the very first word on this daf, kuvyustus. What does the word kuvyustus mean? We said that if a person buys an eved, and it turns out that the eved is a kuvyustus, so that's not a mekach ta'us. A lot of avadim are kuvyustus. Says Rashi, what is a kuvyustus? A gonev nefashos, a kidnapper. That's a kuvyustus. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of avadim are like that. So people are mekabel that. Tells us not so pleased with this. Pirush Bekunchos, gonev nefashos. Tells us I have two major problems with this. One is based on the usage of the term kuvyustus in a different context, and the other is just on the logic of our Gemara. Kasha number one, he says, V'lo mashma hachi par kama de b'choros. The Gemara b'choros says, the Kamala Kesel Ram Gamliel, Moshe Rabcham ganav haya o kovyustus haya o she'eno baki b'cheshbonos haya. That he has a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu, that if you actually do the cheshbon in the collection for the Mishkan, that the numbers don't really work out. The way it should have worked out is that Moshe Rabbeinu should have collected 301,705 shekel, because if he's taking machzah shekel from everybody, and the half of that is 301,705, so that's how much he should have ended up with. But the pasuk says, "Ve'yimaas kikar kesef latzakas adnei hakodesh." So you see that there was only 100 kikar, which is half of the value of 301,705 shekel. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do with the rest? So the kesar said to Rabbi Gamliel, "I could think of three possibilities. He was a ganav, he was a kovyustus, or he was a bad accountant." So how does kovyustus mean that he was a gonif nefashos, that he was a kidnapper? What does that have to do with kidnapping? This is all about accounting. This is just about what he did with the money. So vahasama mamon kai da she'ilu rishon devchalon shalaviyim atamotze kvar yeshivo. Over there, it's all about the money. The whole issue of kovyustus was an issue about the money. He had another challenge as well about the numbers of levim, but that was already answered. So it was clearly about money. Second of all, Tulsa says, just in the context of our Gemara, that when you buy an Eved, if he's a Kavustus, you can't claim Mekach Toz, because come on, you know, people sometimes are a Kavustus. That's just a guy who's an Eved, very often is like that. Rashi says, why is it a Giyu? Why is it that it's not a Mekach Toz? Because a lot of people, most of them are like that. Very difficult to imagine. You can say that Rova the Avadim are Ganavim. Okay, I could believe that. But Rova the Ganavim are Gonvei Nefashos? That's a little hard to accept. So Tosa says, I think like Rabbeinu Chananel says. The Mefarish Kovyustus Mesachik Bekuvya. Kovyustus is a lotion of gambling. He's a gambler. And that which the Gemara says in Chulin, when Yaakov wrestles with the Malach, and the Malach says, you got to send me away because it's all Shachar, it's time for me to go. And Yaakov says, well, who are you? V'chi ganavata o kovyustus ata shata misyari min ha-shachar? Why are you afraid of the sun? Are you a ganav or a kovyustus? So the Pirsha Kuntrasasi Shapi, if you say he's a kidnapper, you understand, they generally work under the cover of darkness. But why, if it's all about gambling, why would a gambler be afraid of the sun? Gamblers are often in debt. And since they're in debt, they often need to hide. So he's also under the cover of darkness. In fact, the Ritva over here combines the two. He says that a kovyustus is a mesachik b'kuvya, and the mesachik b'kuvya generally steal in order to cover their debts. So they steal mamon b'nei adam, and they're gonvei nefashos in order to pay back those in order to cover their debts as well. So they're afraid to go out during the day, and they do all sorts of crimes, meaning gambling can lead a person. Eino osik yeshuva shalolam may not only mean that a person who's a gambler is pasaleidus because he doesn't understand the value of money when he says Eino osik yeshuva shalolam, but that he's also desperate for money, and who knows what he does in order to cover his debts when he's in debt. Someone like that could do all sorts of crimes. It's a gateway to all sorts of crimes if a person is very involved in gambling. Okay, so we also discussed, we said, so what's the nafkamina between the two possibilities of why the Arusa is not allowed to eat Truma? So we said, Kibel Masar V'Halach, and we said it like Rashi said it, that Kibel Masar V'Halach are three separate nafkaminas. But it happens to be that there are Rishonim, the Rashi, because of the name of the Ravid, that understands Kibel Masar V'Halach is all one inyan. That the father, Kibel, means the father was Mekabel, the Kesef Kiddushin from the husband. So right away he gives his daughter, and the husband took the daughter and went with her. That it's all one case. Meaning the point is that since the father already got the Kesef Kiddushin, he already gave his daughter over, and the daughter is no longer there. So it's not necessarily three separate cases. But one of the Achronim asks a better kasha, meaning we ask what the nafkamina is between the two deos. Isn't there a more obvious nafkamina between the two deos? Whether the reason that the girl is not allowed to eat truma is because the husband hasn't yet examined her, or whether because she might share it with her siblings? What if the husband was mekadesh her bebia? So then he has examined her. And kiddushin can happen in three ways. The first mishnah maseches kiddushin: kesef, shtar, or bia. So we're talking about an arusa. So it could be that he was mekadesh her bebia. Then there should be no concern that maybe he'll find a mum, because he's already discovered whatever mum there are to discover. He's already discovered he was mekadesh her bebia. But you still have the concern she's still living in her parents' house, so she's still going to share that with the truma with her father and with her brother. You still have that concern. So why don't we say that is enough, Kamina? So the Achronim say, well, you have to suggest is that it's a low plug, that no matter what type of erusin you have, in all the methods of erusin, that if they were misakin mishum, that he might find a mum, they were misakin across the board, a low plug, even in a situation where we're no longer concerned that you're going to find a mum. But kibel masav halach, those aren't ways of doing kiddushin. Those could apply to all different types of kiddushin, and therefore that would not be included in a low plug. That would still be nafkamina. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nosan la hakol truma. So we had a machlokas in the Mishnah when the Zman comes, and now she's allowed to start eating truma, so is the husband allowed to provide her with exclusively truma food? Rabbi Tarfon said yes, and Rabbi Kiva said, no, he's got to give her at least half of the food he gives her has to be chulin, because there are times of the month when she's going to be tummy, she's not going to be able to eat truma, so you have to provide her with something that she can actually eat. So Amar Abayim, machlokas bebas kohen lekohen. The whole machlokas, whether he's allowed to provide her with exclusively truma food or not, is only if she's a bas kohen, and therefore she's used to handling truma, and she knows what to do with it, and she knows that when she's tameh she can't handle it, and she has to sell it. Aval bebas Yisrael lekohen. But if you're dealing with the bas Yisrael lekohen, where she's not used to the idea of how to handle truma, divrei hakol mechtzu chulin mechtzu truma, then everyone would agree you have to give her half chulin, half truma. You can't just give her truma and expect her to know what to do about it. V'amar Abayi machlokas ba'arusa. Abayi also says the whole machlokas is only if she only had erusin. Aval b'nisua divrei hakol mechtzu chulin mechtzu truma. Once she's already married, once she has nisuin, then everyone would agree the husband has to give her mizonos that she could actually eat, and therefore he's going to have to give her chulin mizonos for those times that she's tamei. It's only when she's an arusa, where it's not really yet his full responsibility to feed her, so then he can feed her in a way that she has to do some of the work. But once she's in nesua, he has to give her he has to give her something that she could eat, that's ready to eat. Tanya Nami Yachim Rabbeisa says just like this. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nosla kol truma, that he can give her exclusively truma food. Rabbi Kiva Omer, mechza chulin mechza truma. Rabbi Kiva says, no, half chulin, half truma. Medvar mamurim bebas kohen lekohen. But that's only, the Brisa says, just like Abaye had said before, that's only if she's a bas kohen who's used to handling truma. Aval bas Yisrael lekohen divrei hakol mechza chulin mechza truma. But if she's a bas Yisrael marrying a kohen, then you for sure have to give her at least some chulin food, because she doesn't know what to do with truma food when she's tameh. Medvar mamurim barus. And then Abaye's second qualification is also mentioned explicitly in the Brisa, that this whole din is only if she's an arusa, the idea that you can give her exclusively truma food and have her deal with it, that's only by an arusa. Aval b'nesua divrei hakol mechza chulin mechza truma. But if she's a nesua, everyone would agree it's mechza chulin mechza truma. You have to give her some chulin food as well. Rabbi Yehuda Meseira Omer Nosan l'shtei yado shel truma va'achar shel chulin. Now the Gemara quotes a third shita. So we had Rabbi Tarfon says you can give her all truma. Rabbi Kiva says you give her half and half. Rabbi Yehuda Meseira says you have to give her two thirds of truma and one third of chulin, meaning you're allowed to give her up to two thirds truma, because the time that she actually needs to eat chulin is only one third of the time. It's not half the time where she's going to be tameh and she needs to eat chulin. How do we figure that it's one third of the time that she's actually tameh? So the Marshal says very poshut. He says, assume that the average cycle of a woman's nida is 30 days. That an onabeninus, we pass an onabeninus, is 30 days. So assume that an average cycle is 30 days. So every 30 days she's going to see dam. So we assume that for 3 days she's going to bleed. That's the assumption that they work with, that it's the Rias Dam is going to be for 3 days. Now if she has Rias Dam for 3 days, so she's a Zava Gadola, if it's B'yamei Ziva, so she can be a Zava Gadola, and therefore she's going to need Shiva Nekiyim. So 3 days plus Shiva Nekiyim is 10 days out of 30, and there you have it. That's one third of the time that typically she's going to be Tameya, and therefore not going to be permitted to eat Truma. So that's why one third of her food has to be Chulin food. The Chassam Sofer in the Chiddush Manshas says a little differently. He says that he's assuming that we're talking about an Ish Nesua, not an Arusa, and since she has every month 10 days of tumah, because she has 3 days of Shabbosos of Be'ilas Ona, and Onas Talmud Chacham is Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. So there are 3 days in the month that there's going to be a Lel Ona. If it's every Erev Shabbos, no, but one of the Erev Shabbosos she's going to be Tamei as a Nida. So you have three Shabbosos, 7 days of Yimei Nida. Meaning, why would we assume Shiva Nekiyim and 3 days of bleeding of Yimei Ziva that she's a Zavik Dol? Assume a normal Nida cycle, and on the Daraisa level, a normal Nida cycle is that however long she bleeds for, she's only Tamei for a grand total of 7 days anyway. So it's only 7 days of Tumah, but then you have 3 days where she's Paletas Shechvazar, where she's Tumah because of the Bias Ona. So that's the additional 3 days, and that's why it's going to be 10 days out of the month. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Rabbi Yehuda says, Nosna Hakol Truma Vimo Cheres V'Lokechas B'damim Chulin. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can give her exclusively Truma, but he's saying differently than Rabbi Tarfon, because he's saying you give her enough Truma that when she sells that truma, it should be enough to provide her with enough chulin food that she won't have to come up with any more food. Meaning, when Rabbi Tarfon said you give her all truma, Rabbi Tarfon was saying that if you figure out how much she'll eat, you figure out she'll eat X amount of food, and you give her exactly that amount of food, and it could even all be truma. If she sells that, she's not going to be able to demand the same prices. She's not going to be able to replace that with the same amount of chulin food, and she'll have a little bit of a shortfall. Rabbi Tarfon says, well, that's her problem. She'll have a shortfall. Rabbi Yehuda is not going to accept that. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's X amount of food, give her as much of that as chulin as you want, and whatever you're going to give her as truma, you have to make sure to give her a little extra, so that when she exchanges that for chulin, she'll have enough chulin food to actually eat. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Makom Shuskru Truma, Nosla Kiflayim B'chulin. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, and the way to make that cheshbon, to make sure that she's able to easily exchange the truma food for a sufficient supply of chulin food, is give her twice as much food as she needs. Meaning, if you cheshbon that she needs X amount of chulin food, and you want to give her truma, give her 2x of truma, because if she's going to exchange it for chulin food, she needs to have a lot of leeway in order to be able to have enough chulin food. Ask Gemara, my benayu, what's enough coming between these last two opinions? They both said you have to give her a lot more truma food so that she's able to exchange it for the amount of chulin that she needs. Says Gemara, ika benayu tircha. The nafkamina is tircha. Is how much of a hassle do we make her go through in order to sell the food? This last opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says she doesn't have to go through any tircha at all. We give her so much more truma that it's going to be easy for her to exchange that for the proper amount of chulin. Whereas the previous opinion says we give her a little more truma, but she's still going to have to go shopping around to be able to find the best deal, to be able to supply herself with the amount of chulin food that she actually needs. That's at least that's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. The Ritva understood that those last two opinions actually don't disagree with each other. That where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you give keflayim b'chulin, that whenever you're giving truma, you give keflayim b'chulin, he's just explaining the previous opinion. He's just explaining the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said you give more truma than the amount of food that she needs. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what do I mean by more? What does he mean by more truma? He means double. And when the Gemara says my benayhu, the Gemara is not asking what they're arguing about. That's not the Gemara's question. It's that there is no machlokas. The Gemara's question is my ika ben Rabbi Akiva le Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara's question is what the nafkamina is between Rabbi Akiva, who says that you give half chulin and half truma, and Rabbi Yehuda. Both of them say you give mechza chulin. So that the Gemara says that ika benayhu, who has to go sell the peros of truma in order that there should be a sufficient supply of chulin food for Yimei Tuma. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she's the one that has to be tareach to sell all the truma food, and that's why she gets so much extra. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the husband is the one that has to sell all the truma food in order to give her mechza chulin. So that's the... that's the way the Ritva reads the Hemshech of the Gemara. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. So Hayavam eino machal b'truma. The Mishnah said that a Yavam is not able to be machal her b'truma. When she's a Shomeres Yavam, before they actually did Yibum, when she's a Shomeres Yavam, she cannot eat truma even if the Yavam is a Kohen. My Taima, kinyan kaspa, marachmana vai kinyan da achivu. Because the pasuk says kinyan kaspa, it has to be his own kinyan, and over here it's only a kinyan da achiv. It's his brother's kinyan. But wait a second, doesn't that apply even after nisuin as well? It's still his brother's kinyan. He just did yibum on her. He did a bia, but he never did a kinyan kaspo. He can't do kesef. He can only do bia. So Rashi writes, aval kansa harei ishto lechal davar vakasav kare ishto. Yeah, but once he does the bia, once he does the yibum, the Torah considers her his complete wife for every single halacha. So once they have nisuin, we have to say that she's allowed to eat truma because she's always considered ishto lechal davar. Because it says v'lachalol le'isha. So the way he's koner is only with bia, but just like kiddushe bia would work for an arusa on a daraisa level, so yibum works for a yavam on a daraisa level, and we say that she's going to be allowed to eat the truma. Meaning by kiddushe bia, it's not kinyan kaspo, but it accomplishes the same thing that kinyan kaspo would accomplish. So the same is true by yavam. Yibum accomplishes the same thing that kinyan kaspo would have accomplished. Asa shisha chadasha b'fnei ha'baal. The Mishnah then said that by the Yavam, even if she spent 6 months as an arusa to her husband before the husband died, and now she has 6 months with the Yavam, where she's shomeres Yavam, still she can't eat truma. Hashu b'fnei ha'baal amrit lo b'fnei Yavam ibayi. Well, if she wasn't allowed to eat truma when the husband was around, is it a chiddush to tell me she's not allowed to eat truma when the husband's not around, when it's only a Yavam? What's the chiddush there? So it says, where zuve ein tzorach lomer zukatani. And achinami, the biggest chiddush is that she's not allowed to eat truma when the husband's around, and then we say, and certainly therefore you don't even need to say if she's spent a lot of time with the yavam. Zu Mishnah Rishona. All of that was the Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah had said. But the meaning that once the zman comes time for nisuin, she's allowed to eat truma even though she didn't actually have nisuin. But the Mishnah Achrona said that she can only start eating truma once she actually has chuppah. It's not enough that he gives zman; it has to be that she actually has chuppah. That's the difference between Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona. Says Gemara, my taima. Why is it that the Mishnah Achrona changed the rules and demanded that we have actual chuppah, because we're afraid that there might be a mum there, and we want the husband to have an opportunity to check to make sure that this marriage is actually going to last. So Ula makes a lot of sense. What's the difference between the Mishnah Rishona and the Mishnah Achrona? Initially, in the Mishnah Rishona, when we thought that all you need is Higiyah's man, and then she's going to be allowed to eat truma, it's because we thought the whole concern was who she's going to share her truma with. And once it's Higiyah's man, we buy her own apartment anyway. She's not going to be living with her father and brothers anyway, so you don't have that concern anymore. And then the Mishnah Achrona came along and said, no, we're not only concerned about that, we're also concerned that the husband might find a mum, and he's going to be mevatel the whole marriage. Oh, so how do we deal with that? We can't let her have the truma until there's actual chuppah. So that makes sense. We understand what the difference was. We understand what the progression was according to Ula. That initially we were concerned about her sharing the food, and therefore, once it's a gizman, we don't have any concerns. And then ultimately we were concerned in the Mishnah Achrona about mumin, and then we do have to be concerned even after he gives manna, so long as they haven't had chuppah. El Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. But according to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, who said that even the reason of the Mishnah Rishona was because of mumin, that even the Mishnah Rishona held that the concern is that of a mum, kamais mishum simfon, ubrais mishum simfon, may binayu. Then what happened that made us change our minds, that made us decide that even after he gives man, she's still not allowed to eat the truma food? Why did we initially think she should be allowed to eat truma once it's a gias man, and then ultimately we changed our minds? Why? And so Gemara, Ika b'nayu b'dikas chutz. What changed was whether we rely on third party b'dikos, meaning that the assumption was once it's Higiyah's man, by then the Mishnah Rishona assumed by then the husband for sure had her checked out for any mumin. He didn't check her out because he couldn't, they're not married, but he had her checked out, he had someone, he had a third party do a bedika, do to check for any mumin. But the Mishnah Achrona says that's not good enough. He's not going to be satisfied until he can check with his own eyes. And only once he sees with his own eyes that she's unblemished are we satisfied that it's not going to be, that the marriage is not going to fall apart under claims of Kiddush Etos. So that's enough. Gemina B'dikas Chutz. Mar Savar B'dikas Chutz Shema B'dika. The Mishnah Rishon thought B'dikas Chutz counts as a good investigation and he's satisfied with that. Umar Savar B'dikas Chutz Lo Shema B'dika. And the other opinion said that a bedikas chutz is not considered a bedika. The Rashi writes over here that bedikas chutz that we're talking about is bebirur mistama, meaning the husband checks her using his krovim to be mevar by the krovei isha if they know that she has any mumin. And it's dafka when there's no merchatz in the city and the husband sends his relatives to check if she has a mum or not. But if there's a meaning, how do they check? They ask her relatives. You notice anything about her? Is there? They just talk. They just schmooze, and that's where there's a machlokas, says the Rashba. But if there's a way for his own relatives, his own mother could do a bedika ma'ula, his mother's going to check her more carefully than he would ever check her. Then his mother's going to be more makbid for her little boy, so he doesn't have to worry. Then if there's a merchatz, then there's no question that there's no chashash whatsoever for a mum after such a bedika was done. So the Rashba says that way because the Gemara says later on that if there's a merchatz ba'usa year, the husband can't come with a taina that he found mumin later on. If there's a merchatz bos year, he should have known better. He should have known that there were mumin. So the Rashi says you have to read that line of the Gemara in Dafayin Hey into our Gemara. That bedikas chutz doesn't mean by other people physically examining her. It means that his relatives will speak to her relatives and will figure it out based on that. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamak shmaisi deishto harezu osav alchelos. If a person is makdish his wife's Maisi Yadayim, so it doesn't work. She can still use her Maisi Yadayim. Hamoser, but if he's Makdish, the Moser Maisi Yadayim, the extras, Rameir Omer, Hekdish, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Omer Chulin. Then it's Machlokas whether it works. Rameir says it is Hekdish, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says it's Chulin. Now the Gemara is going to explain, Rashi already fills us in though, that Moser Maisi Yadayishto is what she does beyond what the Chacham determines she has to produce in order to compensate for the Mizonos. And the Moser is in place of ma'a kesef that the chacham were misakein like an allowance that the husband has to give her a ma'a kesef every week. So the moser ma'isi yadayim is what he gets in exchange for the allowance of the ma'a kesef. So that is a machlokas whether he could be makdish. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Yicholi Isha Lomer Labayla Einin Mizonas V'Einin Yosa. Rav Huna says that the wife has the full rights to say that I'm not interested in your providing me mizonos and I don't want to give you my ma'isi yadayim, meaning I have a good job. My ma'isi Yadayim is far going to exceed any mizonos you're going to give me. So the whole takana was only for me anyway, to make sure that I have enough mizonos. Trust me, I have enough mizonos. I'm not interested. The assumption is that the ikar takana was really for the mizonos, that to provide her with enough food. And the ma'isi yadayim was just to make sure that she's not, that the husband shouldn't feel like his wife is leeching off of him, that she's providing something, that she's bringing something to the table. The chiyamra in mizonos v'ni and therefore she has every right to say ein mizonos v'ein yosa meis veis, as the Gemara, but tiknu mizonos taknos ma'isi yadah. It says that they were misakin mizonos in exchange for ma'isi yadayim. Sounds like ma'isi yadayim was the ikar takana, not the mizonos. And so Gemara, yeah, change it. Ema tiknu ma'isi yadah tachas mizonos. You have to change around the order that mizonos is really the ikar. Lema misayele, we'll bring a raya that mizonos is the ikar. Hamakdish ma'isi yadayishto harei yosav elchelas. Our Mishnah says that if a man is makdish his wife's ma'isi yadayim, it doesn't work. My love benizonos, isn't this a case where the husband is interested in giving her mizonos so that he will own the ma'isi yadayim? And nevertheless, it doesn't work because it's not up to him whether he's going to own her ma'isi yadayim. She could say no, thank you. So you see, this is a raya that it's totally in her control, like Rav Huna said. Says Marlo b'shein nizonos. No, maybe the case in our Mishnah was where he wasn't able to supply mizonos. Ibishein nizonos ma'ala meimro. Well, then it's obvious that he can't be makdish for ma'isi yadayim. Says Marlo, because I feel the man diyamer yachal rav lomer lever. I say mi ve'nizancha. Even if you say that you could do that to an Eved. You could say, I'm going to take your Maisi Yadayim, but you're not going to get fed. You can't even do that with an Eved Ivri. You certainly can't do that with a wife. So what's the Chiddush? So answer the Gemara, the Chiddush is not in the Reisha, that he can't be Maktish or Maisi Yadayim. The Chiddush is in the Seifa about the Moser Maisi Yadayim. Moser Amir Omer HaKdush Rabbi Yochanan Salman Omer Chulin. That's the Chiddush about the Moser Maisi Yadayim. Upliga the Reish Lakish. This whole Chiddush of Rav Huna, though, is against Reish Lakish, that it's totally within her control, and she could decide it's against Reish Lakish. Dom Reish Lakish, lo teim atayim der Amir, mishum deksavar adam Maktish Tavar Shalom Aliyolam. Don't think that a mayor's logic of why you're allowed to be Maktish the Moser Maisi Yadayim is because you could be Maktish the Dover Shalom Aliyolam. No, al time der Amir, mitok shiach al-chof al-maisi yadeh, nasa kom al-kitchi yadech al-osehem. The real reason for a mayor is, since the husband can force her to provide maisi yadayim, so therefore it's as if he was maktish her hands le-osehem. So you see that he's able to force her to provide maisi yadayim. So frankly, marav ha-lo amr lahachi, but he didn't say, yikdishi yadech al-osehem. But since we have a chazaka that a person is in motzi dvar levatala, we treat it as if he said yikdashu yadech aloseim. Fractal gemara v'savar a meir ain't the maktish tavar shlo b'liolam. Does a meir really hold you can't be maktish something that doesn't exist? V'atani we have a brisa homer liisharei mekadesh asli lachashe skyer lachashe skyri. A guy says I want to be mekadesh you after I convert or after you convert. Lachashe shtachar lachashe shtachri. After I'm freed from slavery, after you're freed from slavery. Lachashe yamas b'aleich l'shatamas achoseich. After your husband dies or after your sister who I'm married to dies. Ola achashe yachol tzlayich yivameich. Or after your yavam does chalitza to you. Rameir Omer Mukadeshes. Rameir says it's Mukadeshes. So don't you see that Rameir holds a person can be Maktish Adavar Shalom Aliyolam, that a person has the ability to do such a thing? Says Gemara, of course he holds that way. All we said is that you can't prove that from our Mishnah. Me'ahi in. From that case where he's being Maktisher, where he's being Makadisher in all those ways, that's a great Raya. But Me'hal Lekal Amashmimina. You just simply can't prove it from our Mishnah. So it's not the basis of our Mishnah, but in Echinami it is Shitas Rabbi Meir. Okay, we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.